That works.
Okay.
Okay. One, two, three. That'll work.
I think there's a little delay, but that's okay. I'll start this one.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's a dark time for the Podosphere. Marshall Latham, striking from a hidden base, has won his first victory since forming the Journey Into podcast. During the battle, he managed to steal Rish Outfield away from the Doomsdief podcast, forming an alliance between them based on their love for Star Wars. Pursued by the Empire's sinister agents, Marshall and Rish believe they have something interesting to say about the decades-old franchise, its characters, the players behind the scenes, and the new adventures to come. Clearly, they must be suffering from delusions of grandeur.
Howdy, folks. Welcome to the Delusions of Grandeur podcast over at the Journey Into place where journeys happen.
I'm out of it for a little while. Everybody gets delusions of grandeur.
Sorry. I sort of fell apart there. This is Rish Outfield.
This is Marshall Latham.
She's not talking. And we've got Renee Chambliss with us. We're going to continue our conversation about The Force Awakens.
Sorry, I was waiting to be introduced because I didn't want to jump in prematurely. Sorry.
Well, yes, you're one of us. So I just...
Yay!
One of us.
Okay, I'm going to talk on this one. We were talking about the new movie. We're going to talk about some of the characters, but let's would you say that Rey is the main character in Force Awakens?
Yes,
definitely.
Okay. And Renee, you are a girl, or you were once. How does it feel?
Right, a long time ago.
In a galaxy. How does it feel, though, just to have the entry point character be a girl?
It feels great, but it's kind of depressing to me that is notable. You know, in 2015, that is like a big deal, you know, like, wouldn't you think that by this point we should have lots of action movies with main characters who are female and have it not be sort of a notable thing?
We do have lots, but not movies that have multi-billion dollar toy franchises attached to them that are all aimed at boys. So I just thought it was brave of them to say, you know what, she's the main guy. And a lot of the movie hinges around her.
Yeah. And I thought she was great. I really liked her character. I really liked Daisy. What's her last name? The actress who played her, I thought was terrific.
Ridley. Daisy Ridley.
And she's, I guess, has never, like, this is her first part, you know? I mean, talk about an exciting way to break into acting. But yeah, I thought it was great. I really liked her, and I liked her character, and thought what she could do was believable given, you know, the background that we know of with her sort of having to kind of fend for herself for so long.
I guess when you put her up against a character like Padme, what's the comparison there between these two characters?
Well, I thought Padme in the first movie was fine. You know, she's a lot spunkier in that first prequel than she is in the second two. You know, she's pretending to be the handmaiden so she can go out and see the planet and all of that. So, you know, I would compare Rey favorably to that Padme. You know, the last Padme especially, who's just so helpless and unable to really be effective. You know, she's nothing like that. But, I mean, of course, we don't really know what's going to happen to Rey in the next two movies. Hopefully she'll keep her
That's true.
Her strength That's true. And her resourcefulness and all of that. Yeah, I thought she was great. You know, I mean, we had in the original trilogy, Leia was a great character. One thing about these movies that is, you know, not only is Rey the main character, but there are several female characters. You know, there isn't like the girl, like is the case in so many of action movies. So I thought that was really refreshing too.
Yeah.
You know, I'm blanking on the name of the, you know, the silver stormtrooper captain. You know, she was there. The little one who looks like Edna from The Incredibles. You know,
that's exactly what I thought too.
Leia, of course. You know, you've got, you know, you had just a bunch of female characters, and again, like, and I've seen this, you know, from other women kind of who love these sorts of stories. Like, to us, it's only natural that you would have lots of female characters because that's kind of how life is. You know, there's lots of female characters. There isn't just the
exactly.
one woman in our lives. You know, we've got lots, and they are. So anyway, I thought that was really cool. Did you guys like her? I mean, I can tell you an annoying criticism that my son had about her. But if you guys want to give your impressions first, he's poor guy. He's kind of bringing it down every time. Go ahead.
No, I really liked Rey. I liked her, you know, just, you could tell she's has a lot of pain, and she, you know, she has a lot of questions herself, but she did, you know, survive all these years by herself on Jakku and was able to, you know, scavenge around and make whatever kind of a living for herself and survive. And she's waiting for her family or her parents or whatever to return. And, you know, that causes her a lot of pain. And yet she does. I really liked how, you know, she kept telling Finn, why do you keep holding my hand? Why are you dragging me around? You know, because, you know, she was in a lot of ways protecting him. And I just thought she was a good, strong character. You know, she's the hero. She's going through the hero's journey in this movie, just like Luke did, you know, in the other movies. And she refuses the call of the hero, you know, and she's very versatile. On one hand, she's, you know, right there with Han Solo in working the Millennium Falcon and knows how to fix things and do things. And I guess, you know, of course, Luke and Anakin have that as well. But, you know, so she's very much a Han Solo type character, but yet she's force sensitive and has this, I guess, where the title comes from, this force awakening within her or whatever. And there's that aspect of her. So it's kind of that melding of those two worlds that I thought was really cool, where she, you know, she can relate to Han Solo, maybe even more so than she could to Luke. But of course she's gaining experience in the force as she goes along. And so she's going to have to put those, it's just different than what we've seen before. I really like her in that respect.
I gotta agree with Renee. It is 2015 and all that, and there are more women out there than men. You know, I hear it a lot, and I, you know, I don't want to be a grouchy old bastard, but men are the ones that are making these movies, and a lot of times when they want to introduce some woman and she is a 21st century woman, she's just awful and nasty, and she don't need no help from nobody, and she's a ball buster, and they're just terrible characters. I never for a moment felt that with Rey. She was just likable and humble and identifiable. And that was the thing that I think is most remarkable. Not the fact that she is a girl, but that it doesn't matter. That I saw in her myself, regardless of whether she has long hair or not, you know? And I talked to girls that love Star Wars that they related to Luke, not to Leia. You know, I've been like that. I've been stuck somewhere and wanted to do more and wanted to be somebody. And so I thought I was like Luke Skywalker. And to me, that's the human condition. That's why these movies work, is that they speak to us for different reasons, but they speak to us. And so that I'm happy about that. And, you know, in there were ways that I related to Finn as well. There were a couple of backwards things that he said that reminded me of me. And so, yeah, that's kind of what they have to do. And not to go back to this, but there were times in the prequels where they'd just lose me and be like, oh, you know, that's Anakin's not me.
Right.
Or Obi-Wan is not me, or whoever it is. It's like, yeah, that's, I don't know anybody like that. Okay. I guess he's a character in a movie. Anyway, sorry if I brought you down. but yeah, that's just the neat thing about Rey. Was, you know, I was with her. I felt what she felt, regardless of gender.
I think that's an experience that girls and women who like these movies have had all along. You know, we relate to the exciting male characters who are having all the adventures. So if that is what comes of this, that it just doesn't matter. I mean, I think we sort of saw that a little bit with the Hunger Games. But, you know, if that's where we're going, that's how it should be, because I think that really helps, you know, us all like relate to each other better and understand that we have very similar motivations and interests and drives, and we all understand each other better if we can not. I remember a couple of years ago on Facebook, there was one of those stupid quizzes where you know, what Star Wars character are you? And this one guy that I know online, he got Leia, and he's like, oh, you know, I'm Leia. And I'm like, well, what's wrong with that? Like, Leia's a great character. And she's like, well, I'm a guy. I'm like, hello, you don't see any women complaining if they get Obi-Wan or Luke or Han, you know? I mean, it's just a different way. For guys, it's like sort of an insult to be a girl. And so if this can help us move away from that, and I'm thinking this podcast is probably not going in the direction you guys wanted it to, but,
this is great.
Getting into all of this sort of gender stuff, but it's important. It really is, because, you know, yes, there are these men making these movies, and you make a good adventure story and people are going to want to watch it, even if there aren't a lot of great female characters. So the fact that now there are starting to be, I think, is just, it makes for richer stories, I believe. I think aside from it just being good and her being a great character, it has some importance to it too.
And yes, we've got Rogue One just, you know, about to come out next year, and Felicity Jones is the star of that one. So I think we got a 1-2 punch right there.
Yeah, or you had Mad Max, Fury Road.
When I was a kid, there were not girls that were into Star Wars. It came later, it seems like. But now, holy cow.
Well, I'm older than you are, and I was into Star Wars. I think you just didn't know them, you know?
I just didn't know them, yes.
Or they didn't feel like they could come out of the closet with their love of Star Wars, you know, because maybe it was thought to be a boy thing. But, you know, I mean, I was super excited for every movie, and I was totally into it. And, you know, when it came out on VHS, I got the videotapes and all of that. So, yeah, I think there have been girls and women into it from the beginning. So,
yeah, my sister, for sure. I mean, she was just as excited or more about Star Wars than I was. You know, we were totally in it together.
Okay. Well, I guess the point I was trying to make is that those days are gone, and now I was reading the stats, and yeah, it was only like 58% of the audience was male on that first day of Force Awakens. And I was like, wow, that's mm-hmm. really weird how close it is in just a short period of time. But maybe it has always been like that. It's just one of those things that I didn't know a lot of girls. But okay, so the other characters we were going to talk about, let's talk about Han Solo now. Just, we all knew he was coming back. He got top billing, Harrison Ford. That was probably just contractual, right?
Well, he, of all the former characters, he was in it the most, right?
Oh, sure, certainly.
I think he earned that top billing. I mean, I thought he really acted well. In a lot of ways, he was the same Han Solo. But in a lot of ways, you know, he was different. And I just thought he acted that really. I mean, he's a great actor anyway. As he's done lots of things, of course, but I was really impressed with his re-portrayal, I guess, of Han Solo as an older character than the young scoundrel that we saw in the original trilogy. I think I read somewhere that he earned like $34 million or something for coming back as Han Solo.
Wow. So
that's a lot of money, but it's still a drop in the bucket to what he made from those original movies, right?
I mean, well, when you get all the royalties and stuff,
he's a part owner in that very first movie. But yeah, there were times while I was watching it where I wondered, is this really big, juicy part to get Harrison Ford to come back? Was this all written to appease Ford? Or had they always intended it to be this Han-centric? And that's one of those questions we'll probably never know the answer to.
Yeah, that is a good question, because in some ways, it maybe didn't make sense that he was the one trying to talk to his son, since he was the one who's like, he's lost. In that way, it would sort of make more sense for Leia to be trying to convince him. But maybe, you know, he needed to be more prominent, like you said. I thought it worked okay, though, even so. And it was just fun to see him interacting with all, you know, with Rey and all of, especially, I just, those scenes with the two of them together, I thought were really good.
Those were a delight. Yeah, that was my favorite part of the whole movie, where she was helping him with the Falcon.
Mm-hmm.
She was able to fix something that he couldn't. Oh, it was great.
Yeah.
Well, and his interaction with Finn as well, you know, where he's like, you know, he's trying to see, yeah, I'm a big deal in the Resistance and stuff. And he's like, I just want you to know that the girls always find out you're lying.
Yeah.
Or whatever. That was just great, his whole interaction. He'd been there, done that, you know, and he was there helping those kids kind of thing.
And there's that moment where he goes, that's not how the Force works. That just, oh, it was, I still laugh at that line. That Han Solo would tell somebody, that's not how the Force works. But, you know, we've all heard the stories that Ford wanted George Lucas to kill him off in Return of the Jedi. He just thought, you know, that it would be a bigger impact in that movie. And that Lucas said, no, you know, it's going to have a happy ending. This is the last one we're going to do. Everybody survives. And killing him the way that they did in this movie, it meant something. Killing him in Return of the Jedi, I guess it would have raised the stakes a little bit, but it wouldn't have meant what it meant in Episode 7.
I guess it depends on, like, if, say, he'd sacrificed himself so that they could get the shields down, and that was sort of the only way it could happen, you know, then it would have meant something, I think. But, you know, who knows how they would have done it.
Yeah, I look forward to watching it again because, you know, as soon as he's walking out on that catwalk or whatever, I mean, you know something big is going to happen. Everybody shows up to witness it and everything like that. And I kind of saw, you know, what was coming with that. But to me, in that moment, it, you know, the way I felt Han was feeling was like he didn't care at that point. He probably knew he might even die at that point. But when he saw his son walking away, he probably thought that this is the last chance I'm ever going to have to try to reach him and to bring him back and have him as my son. If I don't do it now, I'm never going to do it. And he didn't really care at that point what that meant. And when he walked out on that catwalk, he was there for his son, and that was all that mattered for him. And I thought that was great. I mean, that really meant something to that character and to the movie.
Right. And then for Kylo Ren, I mean, that's, you're not going to come back from that very easily, if at all. So that pretty much sealed him as the, you know, big time bad guy in these movies.
Okay, well, that opens the door to talk about Kylo Ren.
But I saw it coming too, but I thought that was okay. You know, that didn't bother me.
Yeah.
Just because, yeah. I don't know, it just didn't. It was like, I don't think it was meant to be a big shocking surprise. Do you? Do you think that's how they, I mean, maybe it was the whole, like, do you think people really thought when he was like, I'm trying to just, you know, do I have the courage to do what needs to be done, that people really thought it was to go back with his dad? Because, you know, I didn't think that's what he was saying. But were we meant to, do you think?
Well, I don't know. I'd like to watch it again to kind of catch that again. But I think part of me thinks that he still was struggling. And maybe he already knew what he wanted to do, that he wanted to kill Han Solo to seal his fate to the dark side or whatever, or to get rid of any guilt or hanging on feelings that he would be. He said he was tempted by the light side of the Force rather than the other way around. I think that part of him still did want to be redeemed and to go back with his father, but at that point he'd already kind of made up his mind. At least that's what I'd like to think, anyway.
Yeah.
Sure. You know, these characters always have a choice to make. You know, we go back to the tree in Empire Strikes Back, the cave. Luke could have gone either way, and the choice is laid before him in Empire, and then again in Return of the Jedi. When he feels the power and sees, you know, what he could become, and he tosses it away, and this sort of paralleled that. And Anakin had that moment in Episode 3 where, you know, the choice is placed before him, and which path will he choose? And so Kylo Ren got that choice in this. And the problem with me is I don't know who he is. I don't know how long he's been a dark Jedi or Sith or whatever they call him. I don't know who he killed. Were these children, was it brothers and sisters? Were these Luke's kids? Who was it that he slaughtered in that flashback? And why did he turn to the dark side? We never find out in the original Star Wars. It's just Vader was seduced by the dark side of the Force. And that's all we need. But in this, I wondered, it's like, well, what was it? You know, was Luke just a really harsh taskmaster, or was it jealousy? You know, who knows?
Yeah, I wonder if they will tell us or how they will tell us. You know, will they flash back to it? Will they just not even really address it? Because I think that's a really interesting story. But then you kind of get into the whole thing with the prequels of being able to tell a story that where you already sort of know what the outcome is going to be. That is a difficult thing to do well. So, but yeah, I wonder, I mean, you've got, you know, Han and Leia as your parents and your Uncle Luke as your teacher, you know, what could go wrong? So like, what did go wrong? You know, they said he had too much of his grandfather in him. So that makes me think, you know, was he just maybe some sort of innate part of his personality? That was the problem. It wasn't really some sort of conscious, sort of, you know, nature versus nurture. Was it just within him, or was it something from externally that caused that to happen, or was a catalyst for that to happen? But yeah, I was really, really curious about that too. And I wanted to know.
You know, as you were talking there, you know, I just envision a conversation with either Kylo Ren and Luke Skywalker, or even with Han or Leia, where he's learning about Anakin and Darth Vader and all this stuff. And he's asking questions and trying to figure all that out, you know, where Luke wanted to know about his father, you know, and saw that as a positive thing. Kylo Ren was like intrigued by, well, wow, was he that powerful? You know, and that kind of thing. And he was obviously obsessed with Darth Vader and Anakin Skywalker, you know, enough to be talking to the burnt or melted mask of Darth Vader kind of thing, asking for guidance or strength. Mm-hmm. Thought that was interesting.
What, you know, did I say this in the last episode? Kylo Ren just seemed so inept after that original scene where he holds the blaster. You know, he tries to force suck information out of people's brains and he never can do it. And then he fights Finn, and then he fights Rey, a girl who's never even held a lightsaber before. And he loses, and I wonder, well, is Luke just a terrible teacher? Is this guy maybe he's gifted in other ways? I don't know. Are we going to see him come back in a couple of years and he'll be this super badass Jedi, or whatever the opposite of a Jedi is? You know, he's just like, oh, who can do all the things that Vader and maybe even the Emperor did? Because it seems like there's a line where the Andy Serkis character, the freakish holographic old alien monster man, what's his name?
Snoke.
Where Snoke says, come back and I will and let me complete your training, or something like that. Where I was like, oh, okay, so he's still an apprentice. Okay. You know what I mean? Yeah. But I don't know. It just surprised me that Rey was able to beat him so bad. And it made me think, well, okay, well, Rey is one of those super duper Jedis, like baby Anakin was. You know what I mean?
Or what's her midichlorian count?
Oh, yeah. It's obviously really high.
Well, that was kind of related to the discussion I had with my son about her, because he was like, well, you know, that doesn't make any sense. Why would she be able to suddenly, you know, be able to do all these things with a Force and fight with a lightsaber? And, you know, I had a similar thought, but it wasn't about her. It was about Finn with a lightsaber, because he's really like, he doesn't ultimately win, but he is able to kind of fight with it for quite a while. And I always thought that, you know, a lightsaber wasn't something you could just sort of pick up and use. Her being able to use it made more sense to me, because she had the stick that she would, you know, was such a good fighter with. So that's sort of a similar
I hadn't thought of that
motion. But anyway, I thought with both of them, we sort of had to accept the fact that they were just kind of gifted in that way. And so I wonder about Finn, if he's going to turn out to have some aptitude with the Force also.
Oh, I hope so.
Kylo Ren was also mortally wounded with the bowcaster that Chewbacca shot him with, and he kept...
Yeah.
I guess, but this is still the same guy that could stop a blaster bolt in the air.
True.
Well, he clearly was unstable. I mean, you know, those temper tantrums that he would have.
Yes, yes, he did do that. He had too much of his grandfather in him.
Yeah, but even his grandfather didn't do that, you know? Like, Darth Vader, I mean, he would lose his temper and, like, force choke someone, but it was in a very calm, controlled way, you know? He didn't really go on these rampages, except for right when he found out that his wife had died. That was really the only time. Otherwise, you know, he was always very sort of in control. But Kylo Ren is not. He's, you know, so I think there's something kind of, I think he's got some issues that maybe we'll find out more about later.
Well, I liked that. I liked that he was unstable and that he was weird in a way, you know, just the, I don't know. I mean, Vader was so imposing and so, I mean, he was scary, especially in Empire Strikes Back. Part of it was the voice, although Kylo Ren's voice is fine. And the costume is fine. It's just there was some kind of measured, ominous presence to Vader that I didn't feel like Kylo Ren had, except for in that very first scene. And maybe he's getting an arc as well, Kylo Ren, and we'll see him not mature, but blossom into something else. But by the end of the movie, I was kind of surprised they didn't just kill off Kylo Ren. I was like, oh, okay, so he's one of those Count Dooku kind of guys.
Or Darth,
you know,
Maul.
General Grievous kind of guys, that it's just he really only serves for this movie. But I imagine he's the major bad guy in the next movie to come, too.
I hope he is, because if he doesn't come back, then I doubt we'll know much about sort of his background. And, you know, that whole thing with him, you know, being Snook saying, you know, go get him at the end, you know, that implies that he does survive.
Did it bother you guys that his name was Ben?
It bothered my cousin so much. He's like, what
was
Ben
horrible.
To Han? What was Ben to Leia? And I said, well, the prequels didn't happen. So Leia and Obi-Wan may have totally known each other. And he's like, the prequels totally happened. And I was like, okay.
Oh, it did. Oh, so that's why I bothered you. See, I mean, it's not like Luke's not going to talk to... You know, talk to them. Like, they could know all about Ben, even if they didn't.
Why did it bother you, Marshall?
Well, it didn't really bother. It just, first, I'm like, well, that's odd. Why would they name him Ben? Because Luke was the one that was close to Ben. And I was just kind of like, okay, well, and then I just kind of went with it. But the more I think about it, I'm like, because I think, and I might be wrong with my, and I know it doesn't matter anymore, but in the expanded universe, they had, you know, three children, the Solos. They had, you know, Jason, Janaea, and Anakin as their child. And then, and see, that might, if his name was Anakin, that might have tied in more to why he was obsessed with his grandfather. But then I think later on, Luke and Mara Jade had a son named Ben, but I could be wrong about that.
I think you're right. They did have a kid named Ben.
So maybe that's why it seems strange to me, because I was going back to the expanded universe stuff or something like that. But
and I think at this point we have to accept that the expanded universe is gone. Although there could still be a Mara Jade out there. It would be great if there were, and we found out Luke did have children and all that. But yeah, I think most of it's been jettisoned.
That brings us back to Rey. Because there's a lot of speculation that I've heard people talking about. Well, is Rey related to Luke? Is she Luke's daughter? Did when he went off in his exile, is that how she ended up on Jakku kind of thing?
Well, they don't show her parents' faces in that flashback, right? They go out of their way to keep it nebulous, and we never find out a last name for her.
Right, and why does the lightsaber call to her, you know?
Right.
If she were his daughter, that would make sense. That part, this is a quick tangent, but that lightsaber part, that was one of the, I mean, like I said, I liked the movie. I thought it was fun and I was really happy with it. But that part, I was like, okay, that seems awfully coincidental. Although I guess there are tons of coincidences in Star Wars, but that the lightsaber happened to be right there. I guess the Force was at work.
Well, okay. Daisy Ridley, the girl what they cast, beautiful girl.
Yeah.
Almost spitting image of Keira Knightley, right? And Keira Knightley was hired for Phantom Menace because she looked so much like Natalie Portman. And so I just like, okay, you cast somebody that looks a lot like the grandmother. And Natalie Portman was cast because she looked a little bit like Carrie Fisher. Right? Did you see a resemblance there?
I think if you look, the resemblance I saw with her, I mean, I totally see the Keira Knightley resemblance too, but if you look at her face, I think her face looks a lot like young Anakin in Phantom Menace, like his face. I think there's a real resemblance there, you know, and I don't know if it was intentional or not, but that's who her face reminded me the most of. Her way of moving and kind of her body shape and all of that was definitely Keira Knightley-esque, plus the accent. But her face, I think, looks a lot like that little boy.
Huh. Well, and then somebody pointed out that she had that X-Wing pilot helmet when she was on Jakku, and she was wearing it.
Did that helmet mean something?
Well, I don't know if they were suggesting that that might have been Luke's helmet. I'm gonna have a lot of be paying a lot more attention when I watch the movie next time.
Okay, I want to too.
Yeah, that'll be fun to see it again.
How long was Luke gone? I mean, Luke doesn't seem the type that would have illegitimate children out there in the galaxy, right?
I wouldn't think so.
Maybe that's why he's hot in hiding. That was the other thing. Like, why did he? The map. Okay, the map and Luke disappearing. Both of those didn't make sense to me. You know, if he
together, right?
Yeah, you know, something. If he feels responsible for what's happened to Kylo Ren, you know, and then he just takes off because of that. That's what we're supposed to accept, right? And then, but then, why is there this map to find him? You know, I mean, all of that was kind of. I hope we get more on that too.
Well, the opening crawl says that something to the effect that he's gone into hiding and that Kylo Ren and the Grand, whatever he calls himself, Snoke, will not rest until they kill him as the last of the Jedi. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that's just another, hey, this is what Obi-Wan did when he was being hunted. He went into exile. I don't know. Then why would you leave a map to how to find yourself? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Unless that map was for Rey.
Well, right. Or maybe there was and then R2-D2 kind of awakens. You know, was there some sort of a signal? Was there something they were waiting to happen before Luke is found? I don't know.
At least there wasn't a prophecy that something would awaken the Force, right? But maybe that's what Luke is doing. He's over there. He's in meditation. He didn't seem surprised when she showed up, did he?
No.
Luke is smart enough to realize that she came, that there's somebody on the planet and they're coming up those stairs. Okay, when Han dies, Leia clearly senses it, right? Planets away.
Yes.
So does Leia have the Force? Does she have any training? Did she become a Jedi? No? Is that, what do you guys think?
She's definitely Force sensitive, but I don't think she's had any Jedi training. Maybe some small things. You know, maybe Luke taught her a few things, but I don't think she would be considered a Jedi or even a Padawan or anything like that. But I think she definitely felt when Han died. They showed that pretty clearly. I
thought also at the end when, you know, Leia gives her that hug, it seemed like Leia knew her or knew something of her more than what, you know, she would have just known from hearing about her from other people. That was an impression that I had too. So I'm curious about that also. You know, why was she sent? You know, Leia did seem to kind of know her, I thought. But anyway, lots of questions.
But see, Han didn't seem to.
But
let
I mean,
on.
they weren't on that good of terms, right?
Well, why? Part of Kylo Ren's fall, Han's fault? Did Han disrespect the Jedi so much with his attitude and all that that his son was just like, yeah, you're right, Dad. I'm going to join the dark side. He's like, no, I was joking. Chewie, stop him. Stop the boy. You know, I don't know. I mean, what?
Yeah, I don't
know. Why did he turn to the dark side? And were Han and Leia estranged already and that was the breaking point? Or was there some kind of blame to go around? Luke blames himself? Does Han blame himself?
I don't know. Maybe this isn't the sort of thing that Star Wars would address, but you know, a lot of times when couples go through some kind of tragedy related to one of their children, the marriage doesn't survive after that. So it could be something like that, you know, that just after this happened, they just couldn't sort of be together anymore. And it wasn't really because of anything they had done, but just their relationship couldn't survive his loss in that way.
Oh, I totally felt that. That it, you know, they both went back to what they did best. Remember, mm-hmm. there's a line like that.
Yeah.
But we don't know that they didn't have other kids that met the sword of Kylo Ren during that flashback,
yep.
which is awful. The thought of that one of your kids kills your other kids is just horrible. But that could have happened.
Well, yeah. And you hear, and again, like, I don't know that Star Wars is going to like go into this, but you hear that about like parents of these people who like kill a bunch of people. You hear about the difficulties they've had of raising these disturbed kids, you know? And so maybe it's something like that. I don't know. Seems kind of dark and too real for Star Wars, but maybe that's what's going to end up being the case.
Yeah, maybe Ben always had mm-hmm. issues. He always had struggles, and the only person that could talk to him was his dad, and his dad was never around. He was off doing stuff with Lando. And then here he goes, and he slaughters these other kids, including maybe his cousins, which are Luke's kids. And if Han had been around, then Ben wouldn't have done that. I don't know. This is all silliness. I shouldn't be saying it, because when they finally reveal it, I was like, oh, okay, so it's all about midichlorians. Sorry.
Spoiler. Thanks a lot, Rich.
No, but I think it's good to have these questions. You know, I think it's good that we all kind of want to go see it again.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we recorded the part, you know, where Rich was talking about. We have Rogue One coming up in less than a year, and then... we only have to wait another 6 months after that before episode 8 comes out.
That's crazy, guys. You both lived through a 3-year gap, which was the longest 3 years in history between Empire and Jedi.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, the 3 years between Star Wars and Empire was terrible, but at least you had the holiday special to keep you interested. But yeah, we are so lucky that we'll have a lot of these questions answered soon.
I know.
Maybe not all of them. Maybe there are books that they want you to read. And I wouldn't mind reading them. I want Marshall to do it first. But okay, here's one more question that has to be answered before the end of this episode. What happened to Captain Phasma? Did she get killed? Did they really dump her in the garbage chute?
I hope not. I mean, I hope she
survived the explosion of that planet.
I hope she survives.
I think she'll be back. I don't know how she survived the planet just blowing up or collapsing.
Well, what about, what's his name? Hux? Is that his name? General Hux? Did he get off the planet in time?
I think so, because he was told to get Kylo Ren and return to Snoke.
Oh, okay. So,
but I think they put enough into the Captain Phasma character to bring her back. I mean, she didn't even get to take off her helmet or anything, so...
Oh, I really wanted more with her. Mm-hmm. She was interesting.
Yeah, me too.
And I don't know if it's because she's a woman in that position. I'm okay, but it's that combined with how great her costume was.
Yeah.
But I wanted to see her fight somebody. I didn't know if Chewie was going to face off with her. I knew somebody was going to. And then when nobody did, I was disappointed. But that doesn't mean she won't show up again to be tossed into a Sarlacc pit in the next movie.
We can only hope. I wonder how many of, you know, if they're going to have that kind of element come back. You know, they had the Death Star and the droid with the information. Like, do you think that from now on the movies are going to pretty much, you know, they'll still be recognizably Star Wars movies, but the story will go off in a different direction? Or I hope so, but...
I think it will, because, you know, I mean, this movie had a lot of elements from New Hope, obviously, but... It also felt, the end felt a lot like the end of mm-hmm. Empire Strikes Back, where there's a big cliffhanger, and there's a, you know, Han Solo was just killed, and a lot of darkness, and, you know, it looks like things aren't going well for the Resistance or for the, mm-hmm. you know, the Force or, you know, so I think it'll be different.
Yeah, well, again, we don't have long to wait.
That's right. All right, well, thank you, Renee, for coming and talking with us about Star Wars and The Force Awakens. And you had put it out on Facebook how excited you were to go see it. And I thought, we need to get Renee back and talk about this.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. No, well, it was very fun. I love talking about Star Wars. So anytime. And I hope you guys enjoyed it. I certainly did.
Oh, yeah. It was great.
Well, hopefully you will be willing to do this again. It was so fun when we talked to you about the prequels, just because you're... experience has been very different from mine and from Marshall's. Marshall and I grew up far apart, but whenever we talk, it's like, oh, you had the same childhood as me. Okay. And so I loved that, to find out that it goes both ways.
Yeah.
Wait, you know what I mean.
Yes, that we can relate to each other just like guys can relate to Ray.
That's right. All right. Well, we'll call it good for this episode, and we'll be back talking more about Star Wars and movies, and maybe even finally bringing the fan fiction that we've been promising all these years.
Oh, have we not done that yet? Okay, so next episode, you guys can hear that terrible story. Really? We haven't done it yet?
We have not. But we will. It's our New Year's resolution.
Okay.
All right. Well, until next time, guys, may the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you. Say something, Renee, please.
Oh, sorry. I don't know.
Your line is, may the Force be with you.
Okay, I like how I have a bad feeling about this, but okay, may the Force be with you.
Always.
You can see here the Delusions of Grandeur podcast orbiting the forest moon of Journey Into. Although the Creative Commons license of this podcast is not yet operational, it does have a strong defense mechanism. It is protected by a non-commercial, no-derivative, share-alike energy shield, which prevents it from being altered, repurposed, or sold. Until this shield is down, our cruisers can share the fire with whomever they like, while the fighters attempt to knock out the main reactor. May the Force be with us.
Yeah, there's one more thing I want to talk about, but let's leave it as an outtake at the very end, okay? Do you do outtakes on your show, Marshall?
Yeah.
When Admiral Akbar showed up, I was so happy. Oh my gosh, guys. And the fact that they got Tim Rose to be Akbar again after all these years, it was like Admiral Akbar. And I don't know why. Nobody else in the theater was as happy to see Admiral Akbar as I was. But I just was so pleased. And so I looked him up on the internet just to see. And a few years ago, the University of Mississippi decided to change its mascot because it was the Old Reb. They were the Rebels and their mascot was the Old Reb. And it was because of political correctness, they decided maybe we shouldn't have this grouchy old Reb soldier be our mascot. This is Old Miss, right? Mm-hmm. And so they held a vote for the student body. And people voted for Admiral Akbar. And Lucasfilm had to issue a statement, you know, that, hey, he's an intellectual property of Lucasfilm. You know, you can't have him be your mascot. But I thought that this was the funniest thing. I laughed so hard that I cried. The idea of Admiral Akbar being voted as the mascot of a college. I don't know why. I'm very tired. This whole week I've been insanely tired. So I've been crying a lot, but just it was good. I love Admiral Akbar.
Yeah, it was. I liked that too.
Yeah, no, that was cool.
And yeah, they got the same guy to do him, and Nine Numb came back, and they got the same guy to be him. Why would you even think of, okay, we're going to get this guy that 32 years ago played this character that isn't even a person, you know what I mean? It could be anybody. Mm-hmm. Yet they reached out and got these actors back. That just makes me want to hug Abrams or whoever made this decision.
You know, a lot of these actors, I mean, I think they're all pretty close. I mean, they might not be a really close family, but they look out for each other, you know, and I think they figured, well, why not? Well, let's get the guy that played Nine Numb back, and let's get Tim Rose. And
yeah, Mike Quinn, I think, is the name of the guy that played.
They even brought Warwick Davis back.
Yeah, Warwick Davis play.
I looked it up and it was some name that I didn't recognize. He's probably somebody in the castle or something, you know, in the bar scene, I'm guessing. But it said like Wolfter or Wolfton or something like that. I didn't recognize the reference. Oh, but I did, when I was looking at the cast list and seeing who was there, and now I can't think of her name, Algin Freeman or something like that. But she was, she played Martha on Doctor Who, if you watch Doctor Who.
Oh, Freema Agumon, I think is
that's,
her name.
That's
yeah.
What it is, yeah. When we were watching the movie and there was the scene where the Starkiller or whatever was, the Ray was coming to kill, to destroy the planet where the Senate was or whatever, there's the people sitting there in the city watching this Ray come at them. And this lady's on there dressed really nicely. And my wife says, that kind of looks like Martha on Doctor Who. And I just kind of said, oh, yeah, whatever. But she was in the movie. She was that character. So I had to give my wife props for recognizing that.
Well, there were a bunch of cameos in the movie, but that was supposed to be the end. But yeah, there were a bunch. So next time we can talk about cameos, or you guys can talk about them, whoever you would like.